Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it is a Tuesday, and not just any Tuesday. It's known as Fat Tuesday, the day before Lent begins. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday. Good to be with you. And we have such great ideas and resources for you on how to get and stay close to Jesus during Lent and beyond. We're going to be chatting with my friends Ken and Signe Castell, and they're going to be joining me in studio to encourage you to think about embracing couple prayer during Lent. There actually is a form series that you can buy, you can purchase. It's very affordable. You can do this on your own. You can do it with groups. You can do it however you like. But it's an opportunity to sit down with your spouse and to really discover the beauty of a couple prayer. We're big supporters of this, me and my husband, Deacon Dominic. And we actually went to one of the first couple prayer programs because this whole thing began in the Archdiocese of Detroit and was the brainchild of a wonderful deacon, Deacon Bob Ovius, and his wife, Kathy. And they actually spoke at a World Marriage Day event several years ago here in the Archdiocese of Detroit. And it was so popular that it caught on, so they developed this program. And now they have a DVD series that goes with it, so it's so easy to do. And what a great thing to do for couples during Lent. Ken and Signe will be joining me at 15 minutes past the hour. And then another great, we are just full of the resources here at EWTN. I'm telling you, no excuse on not to do anything new or something fresh for Lent. Bill Donahue is going to be joining us, co-author of The Rise Challenge. He's been on before with us. We also did an interview on The Catholic View for Women, which, by the way, entered a new season on Sunday night, just saying. A 30-day challenge to all Catholic men to rise up and embrace an authentic masculinity. We need so much more of that if we look at what's happening in our culture. Lord, help us. So hope you could stay for the entire program. It's going to be great discussions, and we do love it when you join in. We'll give you the phone number to call in right after the break when we open up the phone lines. Okay, so yesterday I was talking with my friend Matt Swaim and Annie Mitchell on the Sunrise Morning Show, and Matt was quizzing me about punchkis. Do you know what a punchki is? Well, if you are of Polish heritage, you probably do. Punchki is spelled P-A-C-Z-K-I. It's not pronounced patchki. It's pronounced punchki, even though the way it looks in terms of spelling, it looks like it's patchki, but it's punchki. Now, looking it up online, I was just telling my producer, Andrew, who is also Polish-American, that they're trying to say this is a donut. It is not a donut. You talk to any Polish-American who's serious about their punchkis, and they will get very, very upset with you, telling you it's not a donut. It's kind of like the whole thing with Italians. If you cut your pasta, you're cut out of the will. Forget about it. Anyway, they are these wonderful, wonderful sweet treats. And I would say they look like, Andrew gave a good description this morning, they look like a giant donut hole, really. They're big, and they're just delectable. And they come in all kinds of different flavors. So they cover them with either icing or confectionate sugar. Sometimes they do just a light glaze. And they are filled with different wonderful concoctions, fruit preserves, chocolate. My favorite is custard. And I was just telling my listeners, my Michigan and Ohio listeners in the first hour of Catholic Connection, that I found the best combination ever. Listen to this. I was in one of the Italian markets that we shop at every week, Deacon Dom and I, and they were handing out samples of the punchkis last weekend. And they had punchkis filled with cannoli cream. Are you kidding me? Amazing. I mean, talk about, as I said, combining the best of both worlds. So, very, very big in the southeastern Michigan area because we have a wonderfully diverse community here. But we also have a very large Polish-American population and a really cool enclave called Hamtramck. Now, if you're ever in the Detroit area, and Hamtramck is surrounded by the city, it's within the city of Detroit, but they have some of the best Polish restaurants and bakeries. And it's a hoot to go to Hamtramck on Punchki Day, Fat Tuesday, and people line up and wait for hours. It's kind of a tradition. So just a fun little thought, and today is a day to grab your favorite treat before Lent begins tomorrow. So happy Punchki Day. And, of course, down south in New Orleans and Baton Rouge and all over, it's Mardi Gras, another great celebration, but it is a time to celebrate before we buckle down and do our best to take our faith even more seriously. And we'll talk about that today on Catholic Connection. There's also an awful lot of news this morning, and including more developments in the situation in Alabama, where they are still looking for some missing persons. So please keep the families and those affected by the tornadoes there in your prayers. And then we also need big-time prayers for Rhode Island, because they're voting today, and it's our lead story this morning, on a bill. This is like sweeping the country. This is just craziness. To legalize abortion up to birth. More on that right now. It is a Tuesday morning, March 5th, 2019, just about 5 minutes past the hour. Let's see what's happening in and around our world on a Tuesday. Well, as we just mentioned, the Rhode Island committee slated to vote on a measure to legalize abortion up to birth today, despite strong public outcry against that legislation. LifeNews.com has the story. The pro-abortion bill, Senate Bill 152, before the State Senate Judiciary Committee, they say is similar to the new abortion law in New York, allowing abortions or basically any reason up to birth, even if Roe v. Wade is overturned, and striking down modest abortion restrictions in that state. In a statement, Rhode Island Right to Life said that by sowing false fears, abortion proponents are attempting to massively expand the present abortion license and to create a first-ever statutory right to abortion in Rhode Island. In other news this morning, this will be another day of searching for survivors and mourning the dead in a rural Alabama community devastated by Sunday's tornado outbreak. At least 23 people killed in Lee County. Authorities warning that death tolls could still rise. Ashley Thornton lost her 10-year-old daughter in the disaster.
She's a wonderful, sweet, God-filled young lady. Wonderful big sister.
Experts say that twister that tore through the county was packing, get this, 170-mile-per-hour winds and likely stayed on the ground for at least a mile. Meanwhile, the president says the federal government is dedicated to helping those affected by the devastating tornadoes in Alabama.
Our hearts go out to everyone affected by the devastating storms in Alabama, Georgia, and the surrounding states, and especially to the families of those who have tragically lost their lives.
In a White House photo op yesterday, the president saying the U.S. government has their backs, the deadly tornadoes again claiming the lives of nearly two dozen people. In an earlier tweet, the president said he has directed FEMA to give Alabama A-plus treatment. The investigation continuing today after four Americans and a pilot were killed when their helicopter crashed on an island in northwest Kenya. Reporter Keir Simmons says the victims have now been identified.
Brandon Stapper and Asher Berg were from San Diego. Kyle Forty from Colorado. The local pilot, Mario Magonga, also killed.
The fourth American victim, Dave Baker, also of San Diego. The helicopter went down Sunday night in Central Island National Park. A co-founder of the environmental group Greenpeace blasting Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the new Green Deal that she's pushing. Patrick Morris says she's seriously misguided when it comes to energy policy.
She's talking about climate change, of course, and saying that we have to eliminate fossil fuels, all fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas, in 10 years. This would be basically a suicide pact.
He went after the first-term New York Democrat in a series of tweets over the weekend, Moore saying if fossil fuels were banned, every tree in the world would be cut down for fuel for cooking and heating. It would bring about mass death. Moore left Greenpeace 15 years after its founding back in 1971. Virginia's Attorney General Mark Herring, the first of the Commonwealth scandalous Democratic leaders to give a public interview.
That one incident in no way reflected the young man I matured into, let alone the public servant that I became decades later. But I did it, and I am so very sorry.
Herring on WMAU yesterday, speaking about the hypocrisy of calling for Governor Ralph Northam's resignation over a blackface incident days before he came out admitting to wearing blackface in college. Herring says he didn't call for Northam's resignation until the governor changed his story because that led to the evaporation of trust. Following news of Cardinal George Pell's conviction of sex abuse of minors, several bishops in Australia, according to the Catholic News Agency, have said they are committed to truth and justice, while declining to comment on Pell's appeal until it has concluded. Archbishop Anthony Fisher of Sydney warning Catholics against being too quick to judge the situation. He said this in a homily over the weekend, the Archbishop saying that Catholics across the country have been shaken, upset, and demoralized by the news. He said while stressing the damage that abuse can cause to victims and the church's credibility, he said he would not discuss the substance of the charges or the verdict. Pope Francis says he'll open the Vatican's secret archives to release materials from the time of Pope Pius XII, who led the Catholic Church from 1939 to 1958. His time as Pope has been widely studied and sometimes criticized, especially as World War II left Europe in ruins. Speaking yesterday on the 80th anniversary of Pius's election as Pope, Pope Francis said he hopes the documents can help shed light and provide a more balanced historical judgment. Those documents will be released next year. The Pope, meanwhile, also addressing the Pontifical Commission for Latin America after their intensive training seminar on the theme of social doctrine of the Church and political commitment in Latin America for a new generation of Latin American Catholics. As Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo reports, the Pope began his address by stating that politics is a vocation in favor of the common good.
The Christian vocation, and in particular that of politicians, stems from community. The first sign of a community, continues the Pope, is the friendship that grows amongst the members. These friends find each other through the incarnation of Christ, who, the Pope says, has taught us to transform a fearsome and at times selfish I into a we. Pope Francis specifies that being a Catholic involved in politics does not mean being part of a group or of an organization. It means being part of a community. The political involvement of the Christian comes from the desire to build upon the common good.
San Oscar Arnulfo Romero decía, cito,
Pope Francis underlines this by quoting St. Oscar Romero, who he says spoke so that the lay faithful could be free. The Christian involved in politics can bring politics into the light of the gospel, and therefore make sure it is the people who are acting as the main protagonists of their own stories. The three main factors that are most vital to the future and loyalty of Latin American identity, according to Pope Francis, are women, the youth, and the poor.
Las mujeres, los jóvenes y los más pobres.
Women, because the future of Latin America has a female face. Young people, because in them lies the nonconformity and rebellion necessary to promote real changes. And the poor, because through them, the Church portrays its loyalty as the spouse of Christ.
Una nueva presencia de católicos en política es necesaria en América Latina.
Finally, Pope Francis urges all Christians involved in politics to be present in the political sphere and to never stop fighting for the common good through politics in all its forms. I'm Francesca Merlo.
The Supreme Court says it won't get into debate over whether churches should be allowed to receive public funds for historic preservation. The court yesterday refusing to hear a case from New Jersey. The state's Supreme Court ruled last year that religious institutions are not eligible for government funds. That would seem, though, to go against a July 2017 Supreme Court ruling, the justices' ruling 2 years ago. Churches can be eligible for purely secular grant programs or things such as playground renovations. And Kevin Spacey's lawyers, as Mark Mayfield explains, are trying to build his defense in his Massachusetts sex assault case.
In a pretrial hearing Monday, the lawyers filed a motion to help track down people at the Nantucket bar where the assault allegedly took place. The filing also noted that not a single witness from the crowded bar corroborates the accuser's claims. Spacey pleaded not guilty to sexual assault charges in January after being accused of groping an 18-year-old busboy at a restaurant in Nantucket in 2016. Spacey's defense team filed several new court motions, including asking for cell phone records from the accuser and his girlfriend. Spacey's lawyer says the girlfriend claims the alleged victim joked about the encounter until a press conference was held after the incident.
Over 80 people under arrest following a big protest in East Sacramento. Demonstrators marching last night to protest the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office decision not to charge the two officers involved in Stephen Clark's shooting death. Over 100 people took part in the march down Folsom Boulevard. March organizers saying they chose that location because the wealthy neighborhood is home to many leaders in the city as well as state government. And finally, in our news segment on a Tuesday morning, March 5th, actor Luke Perry has died. The Beverly Hills 90210 star suffering a massive stroke last week, passing away yesterday at a Los Angeles area hospital. Reporter Joe Fire is following that story.
Fans are surprised to learn he died after suffering a stroke at age 52. But according to the CDC, 34% of stroke patients are less than 65 years old.
Perry, who was also known for his role in the teen drama series Riverdale, leaves behind two children and a fiancé as well. It is a Tuesday morning, March 5th, so are you ready for Lent? What can you do for your marriage during Lent? How about pray together? We'll give you a great formula to do just that coming up. Our phone number, 877-573-7825. Again, 877-573-7825. You're listening to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of the Ave Maria Radio Network and EWTN. We'll be right back.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable health care option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic health care ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The third commandment requires us to keep holy the Lord's day. Scripture tells us the Lord rested on the seventh day. This was not because he was tired, but rather because he was foretelling the Sabbath day that Jesus would rest in the tomb after his work of offering the sacrifice of his passion and death. On that day, the Lord preached to the dead and bid them to leave the place of death and to come with him into life eternal. Keeping holy the Lord's day, then, reminds us that God is on the side of human life. It also reminds us that he is the Lord of life. All our activities and choices are under him, which is why we pause on the Lord's day to worship him in church. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Said the family that prays together stays together. Well, I would also venture to say that the couples who pray together stay together as well, and there is research to back that up. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. Always a privilege and an honor to have Ken and Cindy Castell from the Archdiocese of Detroit and the Couple Prayer Series in studio with me, because this program, Couple Prayer, which began right in our own backyard, Ken and Cindy, has just exploded to across the country and around the world. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning.
Yeah, it sure has. I mean, right now it's in like seven countries, the most recent part of the world, but it's really taken off is Pakistan, of all places.
Really?
I mean, they have got, the government of Pakistan has recognized couple prayer centers throughout northeast Pakistan. And they've started a Christian television station in Pakistan, and it's broadcasting the couple prayer series throughout the country. I mean, it's phenomenal.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
This is not a Christian country we're talking about here. But, yeah, it's exciting. It's really exciting to be part of all this.
And through that process, excuse me, the pastor who started that in Pakistan has developed a wonderful relationship with Deacon Bob Ovius and his wife, Kathy.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the couple that prays together stays together. If I can just, you know, throw out some numbers real quick. We know the divorce rate's 1 in 2 in the general population, and 1 in 6 for couples that attend a religious service together. But for couples that pray together, the divorce rate is 1 in 1,105.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, that's
why do you think that is?
Because they come to know each other, they connect at a level that they hadn't connected at back to the time that they were courting. They bring Jesus into it, and when he's part of the marriage, it just changes everything. It's hard to put your finger on why, but it changes everything. We hear this from couple after couple after couple that go through the program. We don't know why. It doesn't make sense, but it just does. I mean, that's the grace of God coming into the marriage.
If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, we're giving you a great resource for you and your spouse to do during Lent, the couple prayer series. Ken and Sidney Castell are from the Archdiocese of Detroit and are now really traveling around promoting the couple prayer series. If you have a question, maybe you've been involved in couple prayer, 877-573-7825. So, Ken, I'll go to you first, and then Sidney, feel free to jump in. What exactly is the couple prayer program?
The couple prayer program is a six-week program in its core, designed to help couples get comfortable praying together. And time after time, we understand that the reason why most couples don't pray together is twofold. Number one, they don't know how to do it. And number two, they're not comfortable doing it. It's too intimate. It's too frightening. I might be embarrassed if my spouse were to hear the way I pray. So it's a six-week program that gradually takes you into increased levels of intimacy in your prayer. And it's a DVD series that's got six DVDs. And then the core to the program, I'll let Sidney speak to this, are the daily prayer exercises.
Yes. And, you know, it's such a gentle introduction to getting comfortable praying together. And some of the focus that is encouraged is, you know, it starts with just talking about, you know, what do we hope will be a result? What do we hope will be a blessing of us praying together? And what's it going to look like? And, you know, what's going to be the best time and the place for us to do that? And so you just establish and, you know, bond with your shared desire to grow in this way. And then it starts with prayers of thanks and praise. And the more you take time to prayerfully look at what you have to be grateful for, it has a way of opening your heart and your mind to so much more. The more you give thanks, the more you're going to see things to be thankful for and to praise God for. And then you move from that into prayers of petition. And this is really, you know, an area of great growing and opening communication and growing in intimacy, because you know the heart. You know what makes your spouse's heart heavy, what concerns them. And then there's a beautiful section on praying with Scripture. Scripture is really at the very core of the whole series. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's based on God's Word and God's message to us. And then we talk about how to pray in worship together. And then the final week is forgiveness. And by now you have, you know, almost assuredly grown in deeper love and comfort and respect for each other. And you understand the importance of forgiving others. And it just, it's what frees you up for the fullness of a life-changing experience of praying together.
Yeah, it really is. And what's the website, Ken, before we take a call this morning?
Yeah, the website is coupleprayer.com.
Very easy.
Very
and perfect
easy.
For
coupleprayer.com. No
S. It's a six-week program. Let's go to the phones, 877-573-7825. Karen calling from East Lansing, Michigan, which is in the center of the state, and she and her husband, Deacon Jim, have been involved in couple prayer. Hey, Karen, good to talk to you again.
Well, hey, Teresa, good to hear from you. It was so much fun in the Holy Land.
Yes, it was great traveling with you. Yes, yes. So let's talk about what couple prayer has done for you and what you've seen, the results.
Well, Deacon Jim and I have been doing it thanks to Ken and Sidney. Hello, you two. And
hi, Karen.
Hello.
And we actually work together, Canon Sickney and Deacon Ziggy and his wife Ann Zygmuntowicz at St. Thomas Aquinas in East Lansing. And we drove down to Our Lady of Good Counsel to learn about couple prayer from Canon Sickney. And it has really enriched our marriage. We pray together every morning. We use the Scriptures, I think, very similar to what you and Deacon Dom do, Therese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it has helped us to grow in intimacy and to strengthen our marriage. And we find that we see each other in a different light because we are actually being much more intimate with one another.
Now it's interesting because you're a deacon couple, and people would think, oh, that deacon couples automatically have it all together in every area of faith. So, I know we both know that's not true, but a lot of people would think that. So how has it enhanced your relationship as a deacon couple, do you think?
Well, for one thing, because we make this commitment to spend time together in prayer, it's so easy to pray separately next to one another, or as deacon couple, not even necessarily next to one another, but because you're actually sharing ideas and sharing thoughts and sharing your heart, as Signe was saying, that it grows, helps you to grow in intimacy.
Karen, thanks so much. Great insight from you as a deacon's wife. And we'll be right back with more on couple prayer, 877-573-7825. Stay tuned. A great conversation about couple prayer. We're trying to really give you different resources for Lent. So right now we're talking about this beautiful couple prayer series, which would be perfect for Lent because it's 6 weeks. Ken and Signe Castell, coupleprayer.com. So Ken, how do we get this if we want to start doing this week for Lent?
Yeah, the way to do it would be to go to the website, coupleprayer.com, and there's a area there where you can order the DVD set. And again, it's 6 DVDs. You play one every week. Pick a day of the week, Sunday, Monday, whenever you want, and do it every week. And then it comes with 42 daily prayer exercises.
That's awesome.
That you'll print out and go through one every day for the entire 6 weeks of Lent or the 6 weeks of the series. So the idea is if you do something, you know, for 40 days or more, you create a habit.
Right.
So this isn't just about Lent, but we're using Lent as a catalyst to change lives and to change marriages and to strengthen it. Once you do this for 6 weeks, just like exercising, you're not going to stop. You're going to continue to do it beyond the end of the program. So you use Lent. I've got a friend who had a drinking problem, and every year he'd give up drinking for Lent until 1 year he finally didn't start again on Easter Sunday. You know, so it's kind of the same thing. We diet and, you know, we benefit from losing weight. We feel healthy. At the end of Lent, many times we say, well, that wasn't so bad. I'm just going to continue this new healthy lifestyle. So we're really encouraging couples to use Lent as the reason to do this. You know, you talked earlier about, you know, prayer, fasting and almsgiving. Well, this is the prayer component. Instead of just saying an extra rosary every day, you know, take it on and choose to do this as a couple. You know, God united you and made you one body. Do this as the one body that matrimony made you.
Yeah.
And it's a tremendous time to draw closer to each other and closer to Jesus.
And Signe, I want to pick up on something you both mentioned earlier about sometimes we're a little bit hesitant because we may have different ways that we pray and worship. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. No two people are more different than me and my husband, Deacon Dominic. You guys know us. And when we give our testimony, we make a joke that we think God brought us together for a mere form of entertainment for himself because we're so different. I mean, we are complete opposites, and we pray very differently. I'm much more open. I'm much more, yay, Jesus, dancing around with the praise and worship music, where Dominic is much more serious and a little bit more subtle and quiet and contemplative. But that's the beauty of it. And so he's teaching me how to be more reflective, and I'm teaching him how to be more a little bit out there and open with the Lord. And that's the beauty that comes out over these 6 weeks.
It really is. And, you know, I think it's real easy for us to overlook the great gift that we have in marriage. It is the most extraordinary relationship when you think about it. I mean, there are no boundaries, you know, to the extent of how we can love each other. And this spiritual connection, growing in our spiritual relationship together, is just life-changing. And, you know, I think, too, that when we know that we are loved by God and we are deeply loved by our spouse, we become into the fullness of who we are, and it's a beautiful thing. I just, you know, I think that a lot of us, Ken and I too, you know, much like you and Deacon Dom, we kind of balance one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, how boring it might be if we were
right.
both the same.
Both the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, as and Dominic would say, never a dull moment when he's around me. 877-573-7825. Highly recommend couple prayer. Why? Because Deacon Dom and I went through it years ago when the Archdiocese of Detroit was first getting involved in this program, along with Deacon Bob Ovies and his beautiful wife, Kathy. Ken and Signe Castell in studio with us, 877-573-7825. And the great thing is, Ken and Signe, you can go to a parish or an area. I know you are doing this. You probably have a number of things on your schedule, and you can help them get involved in this and apply it to their parish and their community, right?
Yeah, yeah, we do a number of things. You know, in Southeast Michigan, we actually lead the six-week series live, but we're limited in where we can get every Monday night for 6 weeks. But another program that's been really successful that we really enjoy doing, we do a dinner program. So if you'd like to bring us into a parish to kind of get you going on, you know, how to pray together, the importance of it, and model and give you some exercises, we do that. We just did one up in Iron Mountain, Michigan. We've done them down
wow.
in Kentucky and Ohio. And we had a young couple come up to us after the program in Iron Mountain and with tears in their eyes. And they said, this is exactly what we needed right now. So we will pretty much go anywhere that people want to bring us, cover our expenses, and we're gone.
Yeah, Iron Mountain is beautiful. It's way, way, way up north, as we say, in the Upper Peninsula, but a beautiful, very
yeah.
rugged area of Michigan in the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
877. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go on. Give out the number.
I was just going to see about the number if anybody has a question. 877-573-7825. So would you recommend this? And, Signe, I'll go back to you. Is it better, or does it just depend on the personality of doing it? Because you could do it together as a couple, but should you do it in a group setting? What do you think? What's more effective?
Well, you know, I know that there are a lot of couples that think, you know, I just want to do this with the two of us. But we encourage couples to get at least, you know, one or maybe two other couples to do it with you, because there's a lot of... there's a relationship building. And when we end up connecting with other like-minded couples with the same intent of learning to pray together, it creates a really fruitful fellowship. So, you know, people know, you know, who they are and what they need. At the very least, you know, do it by yourself if that's what works. But we really encourage people to do it maybe in a home with a few couples, but certainly consider, you know, taking advantage of the group parish activities like Karen talked about in East Lansing and, you know, that Ken and I offer around. And we know that people have transplanted from this area in other parts of the country, and you know, you just never know where you might encounter a couple prayer series. But
or to go through it as a couple by yourself just to see what it's all about. And then I know you're going to be so excited after doing it that you're going to want to invite some of your friends to do it with you again. You can function as the facilitator and lead them through it.
What I think, though, Ken and Signe, and I'm going to go back to what you said, Signe, about the dynamics of being in a group, even a small group, because for me, it's really important for us to have fellowship with each other.
Yes.
Sometimes
yes.
we can feel isolated. We're so busy, and maybe we're going to Mass and trying to take part in some activities at church, but we can be very isolated in this high-tech world where we're, you know, limit ourselves to maybe communicating with text or on social media or whatever. So being with other like-minded people. And then the other thing you realize is that you're not alone. You go in thinking, well, we're the only one or the couple that doesn't pray together on a regular basis. That's not true. And what you'll learn is that everybody has these struggles. And as Deacon Bob Ovies told me and Deacon Dom years ago, everybody's got something. And you remember that we're all coming to this from different areas of our life, and we come together with the same goal of strengthening marriage. And the more we strengthen the couples, the individual couples, the better off this world is going to be, because as John Paul II said, as the family goes, so goes the world. Thanks you two so much for your continued great work with Couple Prayer. Think about doing this for Lent at your parish and bringing Ken and Signe in. You may contact them through very simply coupleprayer.com. Again, coupleprayer.com. And remember, Not only the family that prays together stays together, but the couples, same thing for them. We'll be right back. Working hard to give you some great resources for Lent. We were just talking about couple prayer, coupleprayer.com. If you're a man looking for something to help you to be a better brother in the Lord, well, we've got a program for you. It's called Rise. Bill Donahue is on the phone with me. You know him well from his work with the TOB Institute. He's been on EWTN many times and is a wonderful speaker in helping us understand who we are, made in the image and likeness of God, male and female. And this program, Rise, was actually featured last year on the Catholic View for Women. We were so impressed. Janet and I did an interview with Bill when he was at the March for Life. And it's really about encouraging other men. In this world out there, there are so many stories every single day. I had the story in the news this morning about the latest with actor Kevin Spacey and the sexual assault charges against him. We see what's going on in the church and many problems. We see what's going on in Hollywood and these continued stories that are coming out. How do we help men be who they were meant to be in Christ? And Bill has a great idea with Rise. Bill, good to talk to you again. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about the root of Rise, how it all began, first of all.
Sure. And yeah, Teresa, I was just reflecting this morning how it was we touched base with you right in the very beginning of the first launch last January, so it's good to be back on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess it was a little over a year and a half ago when we started brainstorming and praying about this. We knew, Chris Cope, Chris Stefanik, and some of the guys at Cardinal Studios, we knew that we needed a collaborative effort of men. We needed like a reset for guys, like a real B12 shot, help us know who we are, why we're here, what we're called to do. And it was actually at that moment, as we were starting to produce the stories and lay out Rise as this 30-day challenge for men, that we started seeing the Harvey Weinstein stuff and
yeah.
then the accusations and the culture, and everything started tanking. And the Me Too movement, the toxic masculinity hashtag. So it was just providential. We knew that we had to get this reset. And so Rise is answering the existential questions for men. Who am I? Right? What does my masculinity mean in the plan of God? And how do I live it out practically in my vocation, be it married, single, celibate? And, you know, we're in the tens of thousands of men now who've taken the Rise challenge. We're so excited. Tomorrow, Ash Wednesday, is a new 30-day Rise. And we're seeing such incredible fruit from it, Teresa, incredible fruit.
You know, there's so much confusion out there, Bill. There are so many different sources telling men that they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't be this, really downplaying the role of masculinity. Masculinity is seen as such a negative versus a positive now. I can only imagine how confused men are today.
Absolutely. I mean, it just seems to flip-flop. The culture portrays sometimes this uber masculine image, you know, popular film and stuff, and then you try to live it out publicly or in your family sometimes, and there's this contradiction that, you know, you're getting in the way, your testosterone is too much for us, you know, you need to settle down. So guys don't know what to do. Authentic masculinity, as we move through Rise, we look at it first as being a beloved son,
right,
and a brother. And really, that, what does that mean? But my life's a gift. I didn't create myself. It's not about my skills, my productivity, but I'm a son loved by the Father, and I'm called a brotherhood. So it sets the tone right away that my masculinity, my manhood is gift from God. And then the second piece is I'm called to spousal love and fatherhood. So there's my giving back, right? That's what my passion, my initiative gifts are as a man, is actually for the family, for my parish, for my community. So I receive first, then I give back. There's a real balance here that authentic masculinity is all about.
Yeah, we have it so backwards, because masculinity, strength is seen as something bad, as well as humility and submission. If you're submitting as a man, in the sense of the way Christ is submitted to the cross, that's also looked at as a negative because you're viewed as weak. And yet, when we read Ephesians 5, men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? He died for the church. Sacrificing yourself, putting others first, is huge, but we've got it so messed up and upside down in the world.
We do. You know, bringing up Jesus, he's actually the icon behind all of it, obviously. And the Gaudium et Spes quote, that's my favorite, Jesus Christ fully reveals man to himself and makes his supreme calling clear. When you look at the watermark behind Rise, it really is Christocentric. It's about Jesus. If we pattern our lives after him, he's the beloved son who receives all from the Father, right? He's the tender healer, but he's also the hero who engages the battle. And it's not by the sword, you know. He enters in with the gift of his body, and the cross becomes the weapon. So self-sacrificing love, being a steward of the family, laying down my life for others, that's where true masculine strength is supposed to go. And it's all about Jesus.
877-573-7825. If you have a question for Bill Donaghy, the co-author of Rise, a 30-day challenge for Catholic men, and you can begin it tomorrow on Ash Wednesday with another great resource. So we say a challenge. What do you mean by that in terms of the practicality? What does it look like for 30 days? What are you getting into every day with challenge, with the Rise Challenge?
Sure. So the 30 days moves through a week of meditations on son, then brother, then spouse, then father. And every day, a video is dripped out, a 3 to 4 minute, you know, like a punch right from Christophonic, getting right to the heart of things, then a daily challenge. And those challenges can range from, you know, carve out quiet time today. Pray about your father wound. Write a letter to your father. Right? Waste time with your kids today. Today, do something for someone anonymously. Give yourself and don't look for any feedback. Look into the eyes of your spouse. Spend 3 minutes gazing at your bride today and then talk about what that felt like. So the challenge is, not so much do some, you know, really ascetical work, although sometimes that's in there, but it's relational. The challenge is engage your vocation, engage the people around you, step outside your comfort zone. And sometimes those challenges are a lot harder than, say, the cold shower.
Right, right. So in terms of the emphasis, are you looking at the issue within the challenge, the Rise Challenge, the issue of pornography or over-sexualized culture? What are these topics coming up?
Absolutely. We, you know, having 30 days to move with men, we have the opportunity to dive into all of that. And I guess it's a couple weeks in when we head on address the issue of pornography and really challenge the guys to recognize that your passion, your desire for intimacy is not somehow from the evil one, but from God, and it has to be channeled the right way. So we do head on address it. When the Rise Challenge ends, we broaden into a larger membership for the men. One of the exciting things we've got going now is Matt Fred's joined the team, and we're doing something called Strive, which is a 21-day detox from pornography. So you can see that the 30-day challenge doesn't end there. We've got a whole bunch of resources, a whole bunch of opportunities for men to keep going. If porn is a real struggle, Strive is there, and that's strive21.com.
All right, and let me give out the phone number again. I'm going to take a quick break if you have any questions for our guest, Bill Donaghy, co-author of Rise. We'll give you the website again if you're driving or weren't able to jot down that information. But our number to call in, maybe you've gone through the program or know someone who has, 877-573-7825. Yet another great resource for Lent, which, believe it or not, I can't believe it begins tomorrow. It is a Tuesday morning, March 5th. We'll be right back. More from Bill Donaghy and the Rise Challenge up next.
Have you fallen out of love with your spouse? Are you frustrated, hurt, or angry with each other? Does talking about it make things worse, or do you know anyone who is feeling this way? Retrovi can help. Let them show you new communication skills and conflict resolution techniques that can help rebuild a loving marriage relationship. There is an alternative to divorce. The next Retrovi program in Southeast Michigan begins on Friday, March 15th. Visit helpourmarriage.org. That's helpourmarriage.org.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Peter Isley was one of the Catholic clergy abuse survivors who met on February 20th with the bishops and cardinals helping to organize Pope Francis's global summit on child protection. He and others expressed disappointment that they were unable to meet with the Pope personally. He's going to tell us about the conversation, which had some fireworks.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
How do you deal with people who lie? I have learned to distance myself from those who manipulate the truth for personal benefit. These people used to cause me great distress until I figured out that limiting my time with them is the best approach. When it comes to making mistakes, the best approach is to confess, ask for forgiveness, correct the mistake, and move on. In Scripture it reads, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's actually advice I often give my clients in crisis communication. Any other approach will prove to be fruitless and possibly damaging to your relationships and reputation. Why is it so hard for some people to admit wrongdoing? Perhaps you need to pray and ask God to guide you into accepting responsibility. Doing a daily examination of one's conscience could help. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
The pressures on men today are tremendous. We're supposed to be in control, successful. We believe that our value is found in what we can produce and what we achieve. So we're always on, always available. We get caught in this trap of doing more and more, moving through each new day on autopilot, while our lives pass us by like a flash before our eyes. That's not who we were created to be. We aren't just a summary of our achievements or our failures. We're sons, brothers, spouses, fathers. We, as men, have an irreplaceable role to play as protectors and leaders and providers. But if we're going to fulfill these roles, if we're going to live happy, balanced lives, we have to be willing to engage the battle. And I'm not just talking about the battle happening in society. I'm talking about the harder battle. The battle is happening within our hearts. It's time to reclaim our true identity. It's time to live the life we're made for as men. It's time to rise.
Beautiful trailer in the audio of the video trailer that's available on the Rise Challenge, a 30-day challenge for Catholic men. If you have a question, 877-573-7825. We're chatting with Bill Donahue, who's a co-author of Rise. So again, Bill, how many men so far have gone through the program since it began about a year and a half ago?
Yeah, we're in the tens of thousands now.
Wow.
In over 60 countries. We're literally blown away by the response. It's been fantastic.
To me, this speaks volumes as to how hungry people are for truth.
Yes, absolutely. And community, because I think for men especially, we find a lot of the truth of who we are in the brotherhood, you know, in the community. And we found out through the Rise Challenge, you start tapping into men's fears. They're universal. Guys, you know, I forget what date is in the 30-day challenge, but they start sharing, you know, I feel like I'm not strong enough, not good enough, I have a fear of failure. And when other guys hear that this is a truth, we're made for greatness, but we're fearing that we can't reach it, you know, it's kind of this, wow, okay, let's do this, shoulder to shoulder. The brotherhood that's coming from this, online, offline, has been fantastic. Again, it's menriseup.org, new challenge starting tomorrow.
Now let's talk about doing this during Lent, because it's a 30-day challenge. So what can they do after the 30 days? Because they'll have a few more days left during the Lenten season.
That's right. Since last year, when we first talked to you, we have now this membership with monthly workshops. Christophonic and I just did a workshop. Matt Fradd and I did a workshop. We've got John Sablon, Annie Hickman coming up soon, Paul George. We've got Sunday gospel reflections and an online community that's building itself out as well. So that's the membership at menriseup.org. So those final days of Lent can be this, okay, let's pick it up and keep going, and beyond Lent, into the Easter season and beyond that.
So is this something you do on your own with a group, or can you do both, or how does it work?
Every guy, when they go to menriseup.org, they sign up and they can buy a brother pack. They can think of a brother they want to walk with, because you're invited to touch base on the phone or face-to-face each day. You can also do it with your men's group at a parish, or just friends getting together once a week to talk about the challenges. We really see the accountability part as essential. You can't just kind of tune in through your phone, really reach out. I did the first challenge myself with my dad, who lives up in Maine.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was fantastic. We had a whole new level, had a great relationship, but we hit an even deeper level. And my dad, now in his 70s, he just said to me, like, I feel like I'm not alone, kiddo. I'm not alone. You know, he's been living as a divorced man for 30 plus years, but suddenly found this brotherhood also helping him. So the fruit, again, has been really beyond our expectations.
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of getting involved in something like this, because sometimes we can feel alone. I was just talking to Ken and Signe Castell, who are involved in couple prayer, and Some couples may be reluctant, for example, to join other couples in this program. You can do it on your own, but I think when you're in community, I think that's huge.
Yeah, again, I was listening to your segment there. I thought that was really powerful and that this is following the couples prayer. We're made for relationship, right?
Right.
We kind of look at the other and that's what I'm supposed to look like, or you're helping me see myself in a different light. It's absolutely essential. The brotherhood part, the community aspect of RISE, again, in the comments section under each daily challenge, we've got now probably 15,000 unique comments. And that was another fruit that we didn't even kind of expect. But these guys are touching base, sharing their stories, praying for each other, and even connecting offline.
Yeah, that's huge. And also it happens, I was telling you, we just got back from a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in Jordan, and that happens on pilgrimage, too, when you're with a group of people. There's a dynamic that occurs, and you bond mm-hmm. with these people, and you keep in touch, and you share prayer requests, and it's really powerful to see what happens when we come together. We shouldn't be afraid of that. It's so, so important. I'm just really excited because I think you're giving such a great response to what the world and the church are going through right now. You and I have spoken about this before, and what broke my heart mm-hmm. about the whole Me Too movement, I was glad to see women rising up and speaking about this issue of abuse, but at the same time, after they started addressing the issue, they didn't realize that they have to change with the way they're living their lives in terms of what they're promoting. Many of these actresses are still promoting films that degrade mm-hmm. women and the male-female relationship. You can't have it both ways.
Exactly. It's such a contradiction. You know, in this RISE movement here, this whole thing of authentic masculinity, we head on face that the mystery of woman and the gift and beauty of woman. I wish that the Me Too movement could see what's happening on the inside of RISE, because guys are, they're starting to fall in love with their wives again. I mean, again, we're trying to get this thing practical, get them into their heart. We had a 78-year-old, I think, guy go through RISE, a great-grandfather. He said, I've rekindled my love for my bride again. And
wow.
We're like, wow. That's amazing.
That is so,
so
cool.
Again, this is the balance of being human, right? That we are, it's not a power struggle. It's not a battle of the sexes. It's supposed to be a dance. It's supposed to be complementarity. And that's the theology of the body. And that
yep.
theology of the body, I've tried to breathe into the RISE challenge.
Perfect. We're out of time, Bill. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work. Again, menriseup.org. Another great resource for you in addition to coupleprayer.com. Talk to you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.